All of his glory. Savior, for there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship.
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Hopefully, we know the truth and the deep reality of that promise here this morning. You know, each of us, in our own ways, by forgetting to do things and by doing things that we know are contrary to what God calls us to as his children, we have sinned. We have not fully represented that greatness that we just sang about. And so we come here this morning again to be cleansed, to be renewed, to be re-imaged, as it were. And God says, when you come with that kind of a heart, he can't wait. His grace is big enough and great enough, and he can't wait to re-image us for another week ahead. So be assured that as you bring those things now before God, he hears your heart. And he wants to re-image us. And he says that even though we come before him red like scarlet, he will make us white like snow. And he said that if we come before him in that contrite way, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. Take a moment now to receive that forgiveness from God. Lord, thanks for your grace that is greater than all our sins. Thank you that he who is alive within us is greater than he who is in the world. Hear our hearts, know our anxious thoughts. Forgive us of the things we've done and the things that we have forgotten to do. And thank you that even now you hear us, you forgive us, we are pardoned, and we are free. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come to God's word now. I tell you, I am really jazzed to be here this morning. I don't know what it is about making a rainy drive from Pella or being here with you, but as I've thought about being with you, I've just had kind of like a fun thing happen in my spirit. So hopefully you appreciate that this morning. Sometimes I can get a little out of bounds, but I'm here to enjoy this time with you, and I love bringing God's word to God's people, and so I have the opportunity to do that. We're in the season of Easter, and it's hard to believe that it's just a few more weeks. Next week will be Palm Sunday, but this is a time of Lent. It's a time of before the resurrection. There was the crucifixion. And so, as I began to think about what I could share with you in 2 weeks' time, it seemed like one of the ways that I could talk about this season and also challenge us how to live in perspective of it, I thought about the cross. And I thought about how the cross has basically two members, right? A vertical member and a horizontal member. And so as we share here this morning, I'm going to talk about those dimensions of our faith. Now, this is a maiden voyage sermon. So if you have ever had that opportunity, sometimes since I have the opportunity to share at multiple churches, I pull one out of the file, as they say, right? I try not to pull one out of file 13, if you know what that is, but I pull one out of the file, and God's always faithful to kind of give it a spit shine, but this is actually a maiden voyage sermon, so feel free to suggest changes. Just wait until I'm done, okay? And then, let's see if I can make this work. This is my lovely gang here. My wife and I, my wife is a second marriage for her and a first marriage for me. I became an instant dad when I was 27 years old. And God has blessed us with the three children that she had had by her first husband, who was a police officer, and he was killed in the line of duty. And she had two little girls and a little boy on the way. And those are our three kids. And they've given us eight grandchildren. And they live close to us in the Pella area. My wife is here in the front row. She is a guidance counselor at the Christian schools in the Pella area. And I think of how God rerouted my life into this wonderful blessing here. And I think about what a 27-year-old bachelor thought his life might be, and then how God sort of rerouted me to Pella, Iowa, and the blessing that you see there on the screen. So again, this idea of the cross, it's become the universal symbol of Christianity. If you think about it, the early Christians could have probably come up with anything. You know, there is legend that when the early Christians, when one would meet another one would draw half of a fish, and then the other one would draw the other half, and that would be a way that they would say, I'm with you, I'm a follower of the way. So the fish could have become the universal symbol of Christianity. The temple, perhaps the Torah, could have become the universal symbol. But today, when anywhere around the world we think of Christianity, the cross has become the symbol. And it's the symbol because it represents the essence of our faith. It represents where God did the work on our behalf. And in this season of Lent, it's a time for us to consider the great sin that was put upon Christ on that cross. But as I said, what we're going to do over the course of the next couple of weeks is we're going to consider the cross, we're going to consider our faith, and we're going to consider those in two dimensions, the vertical and the horizontal. Our scripture comes from 1 John chapter 4. Now, at our church, we started a tradition where we stand up to read the scripture. So if you would, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read 1 John 4, 7 through 21. It's titled, God's Love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Bless the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Thirty-two times in that chapter, the word love. And the cross symbolizes God's love. And it's made of these two intersecting pieces. The vertical. Let's say the vertical is our focus on God. The vertical is our personal worship. As the little girl is saying, with all my heart, I'm connected to God vertically. We raise our hands vertically. We lift our voices vertically. We receive from God vertically in prayer and our devotional life. Our spiritual practices are all part of our vertical relationship with God. Then there is the horizontal, which is a focus on fellowship and service. The relating to God horizontally across the community. Koinonia is a word that's used in the Greek to describe this community that God pulls together by his grace. And these are people who have been affected both vertically and horizontally by God's grace. And we need both. Just like the cross would not be the cross with one member or the other member missing, we need both. We need redemption and we need relationship. We need righteousness, but then we also need justice where we reach out justly with our neighbor. We need sanctification, the work that God does within our own hearts, but then that needs to lead to service. We need faith, but we also need public policy. We need prayers, but we also need activism. And we need to focus on the kingdom, but we also must be salt and light in our society. So we need both the vertical and the horizontal, but for the rest of the time this morning, let's focus on the vertical. Let's focus on that idea of our relationship with God vertically. And next time we're together, we'll talk more about the horizontal and bring them together. Now, in Reformed theology, we assert that the vertical is priority. We've got to get the vertical right, or the horizontal will not be right. We believe that God, big G, is supreme, important, and governs sovereignly. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, what? God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, the vertical. In the beginning, God is always first. So when we think about this, the idea is that the post, the vertical, is primary, but it's not sufficient in and of itself. If we look at our text this morning in 1 John 4, we'll see the whole premise for the idea that John is helping us try to understand about love is he said it's rooted in this idea that God so loved us. It's rooted in the fact that God loved us. And now that God loved us, we can be free to love others. We have an example of love, self-sacrificing love. In verse 19, it says, because he first loved us. We love, why? Because he first loved us. If we want to have the right kind of love, what John is telling us here is that vertical and recognizing that because he first loved us is primary, is important. Paul goes on to use some of this same language in some of his letters. In Ephesians 4:32, he tells us to forgive one another. But he prefaces it with the idea that forgive one another as you have been forgiven in Christ. You see, I don't always want to forgive people. You ever have that problem? But when I recognize that God forgave me first, when I recognize that He had no reason really to forgive me, but He did, and He does, then I have to think about my vertical relationship with God and how does that act out in my life. Paul goes on in Romans 15, he says to welcome one another as you have been welcomed in Christ. And there's several other places where Paul uses this idea and makes it very clear that our example of welcoming, our example of forgiveness, our example of love is the fact that God first loved us. The vertical comes first. We have in the Christian Reformed Church a marvelous testimony called the Contemporary Testimony. And in Article 34, I realize that it says this: in our world where many journey alone, nameless in the bustling crowd, Satan and his evil forces seek whom they may scatter and isolate, but God, by his gracious choosing in Christ, gathers a new community. Those who by God's gift put their trust in Christ. And in the new community, all are welcome. The homeless come home. The broken find healing. The sinner makes a new start. The despised are esteemed. The least are honored. And the last are first. Again, what we see in our testimony is that God did the choosing. And before we're really in position for the homeless to come home or the broken to find healing or the least to be honored, we have to first recognize that that's the way God dealt with us in our vertical relationship. And of course, Jesus himself in Matthew 22, when pursued by the scribes and the Pharisees, what's the greatest commandment? Well, he says, obviously, to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with everything that you've got. And he said, and the second is like it. Love people. Love one another. So again, we see the idea of the vertical, love God, and the horizontal, love people. But what comes first, what's greatest? Love God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And some would say that if we really get that one right, if we're really loving God and the things that He loves, if we're really studying Him and see how He operates, the others just kind of fall into place. Of course we'll love one another. But it is possible to have a vertical relationship with God and never quite get the horizontal. If you have a handout with you tonight, or this afternoon, or this morning, whatever day it is, you might want to get that out. Also, in the Ten Commandments, we see the same idea. Some of you will be aware that the Ten Commandments really have four commandments that relate directly to our relationship with God. The vertical: have no names before me, make no idols, keep the Sabbath, no misuse of his name. And then the remaining six have more to do with the horizontal, how we live with one another. But both the first four and the remaining six all arise out of God's first caring for us. The whole idea of the commandments is that God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one that cared for you. I'm the one that came first. The vertical is first and primary. But even though it's first and primary, there are some dangers of the vertical only. There are some challenges that arise in the way we live our lives and in our worship that we need to be aware of and be careful that we don't only focus on the vertical. We could fall into what I call elevator Christianity. We get on the vertical and we rise so high that, as one author says, we become so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. You know anybody like that? We have to be careful that we don't think our faith is only about ascending to the throne of God. Do you remember the story when the transfiguration and Peter and John were caught up with Jesus on the mountain and they saw the glorified bodies of Elijah and Moses and they said, yeah, let's just stay here. I like this. And Jesus said, no, we got to go back down the mountain. And Jesus always exemplified this kind of idea. He never lets us just be elevator Christians. But there is a danger in getting that way. You know, sometimes we'll get on the elevator and we'll say, you know, I wish you knew how deep my relationship with God is. And I always say, tell your face, you know. Let me see it in your life. There's challenges in our worship. Boy, we talk about the worship wars in the church, but we can focus only on the vertical. Sometimes I will go into a church and the praise series will all be about, oh God, I love you so much, I'm going to give you my heart and my soul and everything I am and everything I have, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then I watch how that church lives that out. And there's a challenge for us. Be careful. A good hymn has both. A good praise song talks not only about the vertical relationship, but then forces us to understand that you cannot have the vertical without the horizontal, and you cannot have the horizontal without the vertical. And we have to be careful that we don't get stuck in the sanctuary and never get deployed for service. Another danger of vertical Christianity is it's very safe. Oh, it's a safe way to live your faith. You see, my faith is personal. My faith is about my relationship with God and my time, and I don't share my faith. It doesn't change my marriage. My faith is personal. Well, tell me about your faith. Tell me about what you believe about Christ. Tell me how your life has been touched. Well, I don't want to go into all that. You know, I don't want to go into all that. It's just my faith. And sometimes in our culture, we're told, hey, that's great. It's great that you have faith. Keep it to yourself. Just, you know, that's between you and God. And that's a danger that we have to be careful of. It is possible to have a life-transforming relationship with God, but never get into consistent devotion to serving others. And the other danger is that we become Peter pious or Polly pious. Our attitudes become spiritual and self-righteous. James writes in chapter 2, verse 15 and 19, it says, suppose a brother or sister without clothes and daily food, one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs. What good is it? You see, we have to always be on our guard for pride and spiritual self-righteousness. Oh, I've been to that seminar this weekend. You know, I'm becoming really close to God. Sorry about you, is the implied message. That can be a danger. Now, God wants our relationship to Him to be rapturous. He wants us to give all to Him. But beware of the danger of vertical only faith. Our text in verse 18 really says there is no way to separate the two. You cannot say you love God and not love your brother, and vice versa. You cannot love your brother without loving God. You cannot separate the two. You cannot try to live a vertical only or a horizontal only. One will reveal the other. And that's where we get to the end of the text and the idea of the seen and unseen that is so cleverly written in this text by the Apostle John. Literally, what this verse says is God, no one has ever beheld. And what he's really saying, he's not talking about the idea of being seen the way I see you right now. He's talking about the word seen in this case is a very close examination. It's a careful observation or close scrutiny. In the Greek, it's the same word that we get our word theater from. And so what the Apostle John is really saying is you and I are a movie that people are closely observing to see God's love. You and I are part of the scene because God is unseen. No one can behold Him. No one can look closely on Him. We would be blown away. Moses got to see Him pass by. No man has seen God in His unveiled essence, glory, and majesty. We're incapable as sinful creatures, but He can be seen in the lives of those who demonstrate His love to others. So this begins to lead us to this idea of the vertical being primary, but how is the vertical seen? It's through the horizontal. And our love is seen so people can see the love of God that is unseen. We must put God at the center and acknowledge the vertical as essential. In part two of this message, we'll see how the text continually calls us to move from the power and truth of this vertical relationship to the fellowship and service of a horizontal relationship with others. True faith needs both, energized by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we do not fall into the errors of overemphasizing either the vertical or the horizontal. May you and I, as we live out our lives this week, place God at the center. Make the vertical relationship primary. Recognize that God is sovereign. But as He demonstrates His work in our heart and life, as He pours out His love, as we contemplate, even in this season of Lent, the great love poured out on the cross for us, let that fill us and propel us to live in service horizontally to one another. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the way you demonstrate your desire to be in relationship with us and to pour out your life in us. And then be with us in this week ahead. Help us to see that if we love you, we must also love our brother. We must let that pour out of us in service and fellowship to your kingdom's glory. And everybody said, Amen.
Thank you.
It's been good to be with you and share God's word. Are there any announcements that need to be made for the congregation? Okay, let's take a time of prayer and then we'll have our benediction. Lord God, as we come before you, as we think about your greatness. We know that in that greatness you have told us to come to you. There are needs within this congregation that are made aware in the bulletin. There are needs that we have in our families. There are people that we work with. There are certainly needs around the world. There are those that meet in your name that literally have to worry about their lives being taken from them. We pray for the persecuted church around the world this morning. Lord, we recognize that many of us live lives where our needs are met, and sometimes that causes us to forget you in our lives. Be with us. Help us to live out our lives before you in a way that demonstrates your care for us and your love for us. Be with our community in which we live. Be with this church, Lord, in this time of waiting for a new senior leader. We pray that even now you're at work through the committee, through your spirit, in the hearts of he who will come. And we just pray, God, that that will be soon and the opportunity to be well led by a shepherd will come forward soon. And we ask, God, that you will be with each of us. Help us to be salt and light as we leave this place this morning. And thank you for your gracious care for us. Thank you for this time of Easter and Lent when we can focus on your goodness and perhaps even the depth of our own ungoodness and receive afresh that amazing grace that breaks our chains and allows us to say that we've been set free. Hear our prayer, God, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now receive the closing benediction, if you will rise. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
An awesome God, he reigns. heaven above with me.